Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, as well as your smart speakers. My man Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. I'm Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman. I'll say this about this upcoming weekend, because a lot of people on the East Coast, although Keyshawn would know about this because always 75 and sunny where he lives out on the West Coast, it is going to be hotter than bad breath on the East Coast.
It's going to be bad. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Can we take you off our text chain? Because you're the only person that don't got an iPhone.
It's a free country.
All the
videos
come in a smaller pixelated form, and I can't see anything.
Don't got an iPhone.
You are the one person I don't understand. We changed the text chain mess up the text chain that we have. Jay, like, we had something good.
Jay Will and Key, here's the best part about living in this great country of ours. You can have any phone you want.
Jay.
You can have any phone you want.
What up, Key?
Is it don't got or don't have?
What
it's don't got.
It's don't got.
It's don't got. Okay.
I'm
sometimes we say stuff
did I say don't got?
Yeah, but I was like, is don't got the right?
No, you know, I don't think I said don't got.
I believe the ESPN style book would say
I swear you said don't got.
No, I just play me the tape. Did I say don't got?
No, you said don't got, but like we're talking normally. Like
I get it.
Format thing is
look. Oh yeah, but I said it with a pop.
Yeah. Don't got, but Key's right though. It's
I was just trying to.
I do not. Freddie does not have.
Yeah, sorry. Freddie does not have an iPhone USC education.
Freddie ain't getting one.
No, I'm
either.
Not. I'm not. I just. I'm not being critical of the English which you choose
the King's
to use.
English.
I'm just. It just sound. You know.
Yeah.
One of those deals. I was thinking.
What were you thinking? Please share with the class.
Because I love how
I was thinking, though, as we were, over the last hour and a half, what if Stephen A. is my father?
Oh, my. Lies.
Nah, because your hairline look way too tight.
What? Check. Right.
Why? It's true.
Get a little prickle of his blood and check his DNA with all that money.
That would literally break the internet.
What's
if that
mine
happened
is yours.
To be true.
What's mine is yours.
That'd be funny as hell, right?
Yep.
Twitter would melt. Yeah, no, I'm always having fun with that type of conversation. You know, go on somebody's show, like Tamron Hall's show.
Yeah, we need to take you
pops.
On Maury. On Maury.
No, Tamron Hall, go on her show. No, look for pops.
No, I like Maury. It's a little bit more ratchet.
Stephen A., you are not the father.
Keep like, damn.
Hey, yeah.
I missed out on a lot of money here.
Jeez.
We have problems on this
show.
Oh,
my God. Jeez, I got tears in my eyes now. With you
I'd
too.
Probably be a better human being, man, you know.
You know, it's about to be so hot this weekend that, you know, some people ain't going to want to go outside when it gets too hot. Alan Yates ain't going outside.
Yeah, I got rules for that type
of
stuff,
It's supposed to be a burner on the East.
Yeah, but when does Al Yates go outside anyway?
I'll be outside, but it's rules and regulations. If it's humid, 90+, 97, I'm in the crib till the sun go down, man.
Okay.
I don't need to go outside. As soon as I go outside, I got to take a shower.
Start
I'm on my
for
third
no
shower today. No. If it's 90+, 85 and humid, I'm in the crib.
I wish people could see the look on Keyshawn's face right now.
He's like, oh, what you mean? 95 is great. It's just a little brisk.
Alan, you be so angry every morning, man.
That's
like
true.
Every morning,
he's always
like,
hot and bothered.
We're trying to start
that's
off
why.
Light and easy. You be coming out here with this fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay Freddie knows why, but we cannot discuss it.
No, we can't.
Let's get back to the heat or something like that.
Alan knows as long as the children love the Russians, too. Let's put it that way.
All right, Freddie. What's up,
Freddie? Freddie? All right, let's keep our
hey,
jobs.
Hey, Freddie.
Let's talk some basketball.
We do got to move on, Freddie.
Now we
got
to move on.
We got
on
to moved
now.
On.
Now we
got
to be moved,
moved
on.
Moved on and past tense.
What?
But put it this way, moving on to game three when it involves Miami versus Boston, because after what we saw in game two, everybody all of a sudden trying to say that, hey, if the Heat don't figure this out, will they figure this out? This series could be over in five. Well, we kind of got a preview of game two when Patrick Beverly joined us on the show on Wednesday about what to expect after he changed his pick from Miami to Boston after game one.
With a healthy Marcus Smart, pressuring those guards, Al Horford. Initially, I didn't know coming in, but I like Boston now.
So, look, I picked Boston to win this series. I do think last night was an incredible performance. You know, we talk a lot in basketball about players individually who go 50, 40, 90, mm-hmm. and how that's in such rarefied air. Well, the Celtics as a team last night, not as one player, as a team, went 50, 50, 90. 50% from the field, 50% from the three-point line, 90% from the free throw line, plus numbers, making 23s. But it leads me to a different point because I'm starting to feel this way being here, lived in Brooklyn for a while, and a fan of the Nets. I'm watching Ime Udoka, and I'm like, damn, you were on the staff. Mm-hmm. You were on the Nets staff. Mm-hmm. And I'm remember the time when KD and Kyrie were pushing for their guy, and there was a lot of talk around Stephen A. Smith saying, oh, why aren't they pushing for other African-American coaches? And that was their opportunity. That was a big thing for him back then at that time.
Right.
And I was, you know, saying Steve Nash is their guy, but I'm like, understand, I know Steve Nash hasn't been giving the full team as it relates to being healthy and there have been challenges.
Sure.
But I'm watching Ime Udoka and how he's coaching up this team and how he's led them against KD and Kyrie, against Giannis, the defending world champion, the defending world champs. And now where he has this team and their culture and how he's gotten everybody to buy in. And I'm thinking about what the Nets missed out on because he was on their staff.
Yeah, but he landed
I know, Key.
He landed in the right spot because, look, man, we could change history, revisit it, however we want to do it, right? Because if he's with the Nets, he may be in the same situation Steve Nash is in, where Kyrie's situation and the ankle here and the knee there and James Harden out of shape. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's where he needs to be in getting it done in Boston, a place where many people thought that they were going to go in a different direction. And then Brad Stevens pulled one right from underneath the carpet on everybody. And then,
I'm not sure, though, bro. Like, you ever listen to – and I'm not just saying – when I hear coaches talk, right, like on these little interviews and stuff,
yes.
Whenever I hear Ime Udoka talk, I'm like, he's giving me schemes real quick. He's giving me numbers to validate the schemes. He's taking me in and out of stuff. Like, even when Lisa Salters last night was like, hey, going into the second quarter, are we going to see – he's like, he's going to be in the game right now. We're going to run the set. I was like, damn,
mm-hmm.
that was quick. I feel more so when I hear Steve Nash talk. I'm not saying that Steve Nash isn't good at schemes or the analytics to back up the schemes.
Yeah.
But it feels more like it's a player's feel. And I know there's a different strokes for different folks, but it's almost like when I hear Ime talk, there's like an authoritative, demonstrative figure.
Yeah, but
I see Steve talk, it's almost like, well, where's that figure? Is that figure more in Kyrie and KD? And then you're the guy kind of say, okay, now we can put it together. But like, do they need a personality that's going to challenge them more?
And they may need that, and they may not want that or wanted that
in the past.
And then in the end, when they made the decision that Steve Nash would be the guy, they said to themselves, well, we happy doing it this way and let him go coach somewhere else because we want full control of what we think our team should be.
Well, can you remember remember that point when Kyrie was like, well, why do we even need a coach? Do you remember when he said that?
Well, that's because he thought they was going to really be good.
But doesn't that say – I agree, but doesn't that say – like, I would never in 1,000 years knowing I was going to be coached by Coach Key, like, oh, why would I ever need a coach? I would never say that. If I respected my coach, I would never say a comment
but
like
you
that.
But you also, Jay, are talking about somebody that we continuously talk about to try to figure out where Kyrie's mindset is in certain situations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he – it's Kyrie saying it. It's not like KD said it. Kyrie said it.
I hear you.
And by the way, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Keyshawn Johnson, J. Will, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman. Staying on that point a little bit, what you guys talk about with Kyrie saying these kind of things, because I've also said for the longest time, be careful what you wish for when you're the Brooklyn Nets. When it comes to not just Kyrie Irving, but installing Steve Nash, your head coach, as opposed to Ime Udoka. Because the minute that the Celtics went and got somebody, he was the first call. He was the only call because that's the guy that they wanted. Whatever presence that he brings to the table – Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving probably figured that's not the kind of president we wanted. Maybe they wanted to make sure that, hey, this is a players' league. This is going to be a players' organization. Well, if that's going to be the case to Brooklyn Nets, be careful what you wish for because sometimes those kind of decisions can affect your franchise and not just on the basketball court when it comes to Brooklyn.
But
and
it's
many,
also
and many times also a coach that's an assistant presents something different as a head coach, Jay. You know how when a guy is an assistant, it's like he's cool, he chills with you. When he becomes a head coach, he's locked in at a different level.
Right. Yeah, and the same thing with Boston, because look what he's been able to do. What Ime Udoka even said, yeah, we didn't have Marcus Smart and Al Horford in game one. When we get those guys back, we're going to be a different basketball team. That's exactly what happened in game two, because when you have your guy back, your dude back, because he's one of their dudes. If anything, he may be their dude, Marcus Smart, because everything, as great as Jason Tatum has been, and he's gone from star to superstar, in my opinion, so far in this playoffs. We know how terrific Jaylen Brown is, but Marcus Smart just brings a different dimension, Jay Williams, that was missing in game one, and we saw in the Milwaukee series. He didn't play well. That affected that team. Then he won the next two and wound up winning that series.
So here's a basketball cliche that I've heard since I've been little playing the point guard spot. Well, if you're the point guard, you need to be the extension of the head coach on the floor, right? And I'm like, okay. And I got it as I got older because – the way my head coach thinks the game, I have to think the game like that for him on the floor in real time and react to things that he may not be able to voice to my team because I'm on the floor. Right. That's who Marcus Smart is. Like, he's another version of Ime Udoka on the court who brings that toughness, that brings that presence. That's who Draymond Green is for the Golden State Warriors. He's their point guard on the floor, an extension of Steve Kerr. So when you have a guy like that, who also then takes that responsibility away from Jason Tatum. Okay, I'll never forget this. Like, my freshman year, I was the point guard. And all of a sudden, I had to think about, this guy needs the ball here. What set are we in here? Where are we at with the shot clock? What is Coach K saying? Oh, this guy hasn't touched the ball in a while. We had to get him going. Oh, by the way, I haven't thought about myself. How do I get myself going? What's the right balance? Whereas my sophomore year, we brought in Chris Duhon, and then they say, okay, Jay, just attack. Just read. Make reads. That allowed me to be free. Because now I had to worry about setting people up, shot clock. That's what Jason Tatum, that's what we've seen from him game one to game two. He's bringing the ball up, trying to get them in sets and stuff. That's not what he does. He wasn't free. He wasn't reacting. But last night, he was reacting while Marcus Smart was orchestrating. And that's the difference between the two games. Right. Perfect. Glad that got such a response out of you.
No,
I was laying out for Freddie to do his thing.
No, because keep back up on that in terms of sometimes responsibility can come in different kind of forms, and you don't have to have total responsibility, and everybody has to know their role, and those roles no longer were completely skewed compared to game one and game two of the Boston Celtics.
No, and that is true. Everybody, if you know your role, you can – the team will play a whole lot better. If I'm trying to be a star and you trying to be a star, Jay, we going to butt heads. We not going to see eye to eye. And I think that's what – a lot of times that's what you see with star players. When you have a Jason Tatum that knows his role, you have a Horford who knows his role, you have a Marcus Smart who knows his role, things flow a whole lot easier because there are no egos involved. All of a sudden, Marcus Smart comes back into the lineup, it looks different. Al Horford comes back into the lineup, it looks a little bit different. But it's up to Jason Tatum to realize that and not create a hostile environment. Because if you think about, I don't know, what was about a year ago, everybody was saying that this team should be potentially be broken up, get rid of one of the two.
Absolutely.
And now it looks so totally different now because everybody knows their role.
And Jason Tatum knows his role in terms of he's that kind of superstar. Not saying he doesn't want to be a leader, because he does. We've seen him exhibit more of that leadership quality this year. But he knows time and space, if that makes any sense, guys. Because some guys want to be a leader but don't know how to go about it. I think Jason Tatum has learned so much that when Kyrie Irving was there, what that didn't look like. Because remember when Kyrie Irving said, I was going to be a leader of this team, and Jaylen Brown said, who the blank do you think you're talking to? And Jaylen Brown had more support with that basketball team than Kyrie Irving, and he was on the first thing smoking out of there. Couldn't wait to get out of Boston. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown learned there are ways to lead, but we can't lead that way.
Agreed.
Freddie, absolutely. You know, a lot of people, when I played football, my leadership was not to get people in, one, two, three, let's go. No. Say, man, come in, let me talk to you, man. What are you doing? You know you're not supposed to be doing that.
Right.
Let's go do this. I'm coming in at 12 to work out. You should be there at 11:30. Let's work together. Everybody leads differently. You don't have to be the rah-rah guy. You don't have to be the mean guy. It's a certain way you talk to people. Everybody else you talk to, some people you talk to a certain way, other people you handle them delicately. That's leadership. That's pure leadership. And everybody will follow you. There's no question about it. They will follow you if you're doing it the right way.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80 presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can help you protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, and RV, and more. And if something wasn't mentioned that you had in mind, find if it can't be covered at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE because it probably can be. Always a pleasure bringing a man who's a six-time NBA All-Star, five-time All-NBA, and as a New York Knicks fan, I really wish they had not made that trade for Carmelo Anthony because it completely ruined his skew as far as I'm concerned. Here's Amari Stoudemire about to give you that straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Amari, you heard the conversation we had about leadership in terms of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown learning sort of from the lessons from Kyrie Irving. You were with Ime Udoka in Brooklyn. You know, how much of that is really playing a part what we saw from Boston in game two compared to game one?
Well, I think leadership qualities are important, right? You want to definitely have, like, solid leadership on your team because once you're able to establish that, then the coaching can now be transferred to the players, and the players can follow suit because your leadership is there. And Ime was, he was with us, last year in Brooklyn, and – you know, his coaching strategies are the same as what we see now in Boston. You know, he's a guy who's very, very detail-oriented. Obviously, was under Pop, regime for a while. Mm-hmm. And now to see him, using those things he learned from us and here in Brooklyn and also from what he learned in San Antonio, he's applying those same leadership skills with Boston right now.
Stat, at what point in this run will the narrative of lack of experience from Ime Udoka become not a story?
It's not a story to me, only because the guy has experience, right? I mean, obviously wasn't a head coach. This is his first, year as a head coach, but he has coaching experience. He's been coaching with the Spurs for a long time, and then, so he's been around the block. He's with the USA team and been around these star players, and I think he was able to establish a relationship with Jason Tatum even then with the USA team. I don't think it's a story, man. I think he's well experienced, and he knows what it takes to coach his guys. And I'm sure he's been learning and thinking about what's my strategy as a head coach when that opportunity does come. How can I take advantage of that? And I think he's now stepping into that role comfortably.
How is he different though, as a head coach, as opposed to somebody at the end of the bench that isn't necessarily making the head coaching adjustments, doing those sort of things? Because as you know, when you're an assistant coach versus a head coach, sometimes those personalities do change.
Yeah, they do change, and very well should be, right? Because as an assistant coach, you have your head coach as the leader of your coaching staff. And then when you become the head coach, the roles switch, right? You become the leader of your coaching staff. And I think for him, from what I noticed with Ime in Brooklyn, is that he was also – like, we had a nice coaching staff where all the coaches can somewhat give their input on what they feel about the game and the strategy of the game that night. And so Ime points was always heard and always took into consideration, even as an assistant coach. But now he's, in a more pronounced leadership role as the head coach for the Boston Celtics.
Stat, I want to get into the Miami Heat for a quick second because Jimmy Butler once again dropped 29 points last night doing his thing. But we have not seen Bam Adebayo at all. I mean, four shot attempts game one. I don't know what the hell is going on there. And then when you start seeing stats around the sixth man of the year in Tyler Hero, who has the worst plus minus in franchise history, you start to wonder, like, all right, when will the other superstars show up? So let's start with Bam. What is going on? Why the lack of aggressiveness from him?
I have no idea. But you know what? It's funny because it's been that way for watching Bam for me the past few years. Playoffs, where's Bam? Why you're not dominating inside the paint? The game is easy to play, right? As a big, there's opportunities you can score in the paint easily. Simple jump hook, little bit of footwork, left hand, right hand, and you should be able to get your shot off. For Bam, he's shooting fadeaway. He's taking three dribbles in the paint. He's fading from the free throw line. He's falling down. He's off balance. Like, I don't know, development wise, what his training skills like and what's his IQ on why he's training. Why are you shooting these shots? Are you shooting these shots because it feels comfortable? You want to kind of be a guard, or are you shooting these shots because these are your shots you get in the game and you can, execute those shots in the game? Right? When you're training and going over your points of emphasis that your areas on the court that you're going to, exposed on the in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm training, I'm going to go through all, I'm going to take all my progression shots that I'm going to get in the game.
Exactly.
So that way I know when the game comes, I went through these plays already. I got these shots up. I know where my shot's coming from. Wow. It seems to me he doesn't know where shot's coming from. So when he get the ball, he's surprised that he has it and try to create something all of a sudden, and it's not working out for him.
So you play with some incredible floor generals, right? And Steve Nash, one of the best there is, especially at probing the floor. How much do you think Miami misses the kind of toughness of Kyle Lowry? Because his name really hasn't came up since they've been winning games.
Yep, I feel like if Kyle Lowry doesn't play, this series is over. It's not even a conversation because he's your floor general, right?
He can match Marcus Smart to a degree.
He can match, yeah, from a playmaking standpoint, yes. And also being able to control the game. You know, in the playoffs, it's very important to have a guy that control the pace, control the momentum, control the game, and get guys their shots comfortably. And right now, they don't have that floor general. It's going to be difficult for them to beat the Celtics.
Real quick before we let you go, we got game two tonight between the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. Golden State leading that series 1-0. What's more likely, Luka getting 38 tonight or Steph Curry having an explosion tonight?
I think it's more likely that Steph may have an explosion tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to give credit to the Golden State Warriors defense. You know, they are a well, you know, designed defensive team. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think Steph will find a way to get his shot off. I think he's going to have an explosion, and Draymond Green is going to make sure of that.
Wow. I got an education on Bam Adebayo. Hopefully he was paying attention because Amari Stoudemire brought it to the table. 2003 NBA Rookie of the Year, former Nets assistant coach, and a 6-time All-Star joining us in studio here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keep doing your thing, Stat. Appreciate
you. Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
No doubt about that. Along with J. Will and also Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Coleman, in for Max Kellerman here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So here's the deal when it comes to what should we expect, especially when it comes to Luka Doncic trying to make sure that Dallas makes a game of it in game two. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's time for Take It or Shake It, and let's cede the floor to Evan Wilner.
All right, Take It or Shake It, brought to you by Grainger. Both NBA Conference Final Series will go 7. Take It or Shake It.
Shake it! Yeah, I don't think either one's going to go to 7. I honestly think Golden State getting ready to route up on Luka and the Dallas Mavericks, and I think I'm looking more like 5 for the Celtics.
Yeah, I'm thinking more 6 for both series. The question I have, Key, I might be with you on the 5 for Golden State, but Golden State has been known to give you some games now.
Yeah,
they trick some games now.
Yeah, when did they give? Who did they give any to?
Memphis by 50.
Game 5.
Oh, you mean give them like a blowout?
Yeah. They give you a couple of those. Yeah. They do it.
Yeah, I'm hoping for 6 in both series. I think Golden State wins in 6, but I pick Miami to win in 6, and that's looking shaky right now based on what I saw in game 2, but I still think that's going to be a long series.
Speaking of Miami, Jimmy Butler over Steph Curry for the rest of the playoffs. Who would ask that question? Who would say that statement? Take it or shake it.
Nobody on the show today.
Shake it.
Shake it. Come on, man. I think we know that was something that came out inadvertently, and then
leaked,
all of a sudden
it leaked out.
Yes.
Directly. Yeah, but it kind of leaked out, and it was too late. They couldn't plug it and take it back. They were already out there on the national stage, so they had to run with it.
He's like, oh, that came out. I didn't.
Okay.
Oh, that's how sometimes things come out.
All right.
What?
Kind of ambitious there, that's what you're saying?
Sometimes, you know, you think it's one thing, it turns out to be another.
What do
you
say?
God, stop.
What?
Luca
number
will...
two.
We've all had it happen. Let's not act like we're better than other people around here.
Never had it happen. Nope, sure
you never had it happen, ever.
Like flowers.
Shut up.
And it's so funny you brought that up. I was going to, when I came back on my break, you know, I went to never mind. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
That'll be additional content.
Yes.
Tune in for that in 10 minutes.
Seriously.
Luka will win more titles than Steph eventually. Take it or shake it.
Man,
shake it.
You got to get one before you can get three.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And Steph is maybe about to get – I'm still picking Boston to win it.
Okay.
But Steph may mess around and get four.
Yeah.
He's on his way.
It's hard to win playoff series, much less championships, especially in the NBA where things change in a fluid situation second by second.
Man, some of these guys, Freddie, I don't know how long you've been working in this business, but a very long time. I do understand that, but I don't know how many years. Some of these dudes in this business, they think championships is like M&M's.
Absolutely.
They just can pick them out of bowl.
Yeah, I'm like, I just want to see Luka get – become more consistent with getting out of the first round of the playoffs. Like, let me start there with him.
Yeah.
I want chips.
Instead
the
of evidence.
Eagles had buy a bag of them. Offseason. Oh, we're going to go some NFL here, right? The Eagles had the best offseason of any team in the NFL. Take it or shake it.
Ooh. I'll take it.
Take that, John.
Take it.
I'll take it.
Take that.
It's not up to you. Kegel first,
shake
man.
It.
Sorry.
Jeez, Freddie.
Shake it.
Sorry. I think the New York Jets had the best offseason.
Oh, really?
Oh, let's go.
All you homers for your respective teams.
Oh, God.
Evan loves it. James is going to say Kansas City had the best offseason.
I think Kansas City had one of the worst offseasons.
I need an ISO cam on key. Key ISO. Go ahead on the Jets. Give me.
Yeah, I think just their draft alone has helped their team of the future. Philadelphia is not far behind. They acquired the two Georgia studs on defense. They just picked up Bradberry. They got A.J. Green. I mean, not A.J. Lord, have mercy. A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown.
See, I can't say a team that we set up here on our show and picked them.
Yeah,
to
I
seven
you know
games
what?
Had the best offseason. We said they'd be lucky if they won
I'm
seven
flip.
Games.
I'm gonna flip it.
The Eagles
I'm gonna flip it. It's the Eagles.
It's the Eagles. Yeah.
It's the Eagles.
Hey, can get off key. We gotta move on. Let me go. Give me a two box of Freddie and Jay Will.
That's right.
Kansas City certainly had one of the worst offseasons.
One of the worst. Sorry, James.
Speaking of that division, Derek Carr will be a top three MVP candidate in 2022. Key, take it or shake it.
Okay, before I do any of that, when are we talking about?
Like
Derek
he'll
Carr,
be
MVP,
in the
Key.
He'll be in the top three in the voting at the end of the season.
Shake it,
shake that.
Yeah, no, I don't think he'll be. I think he can play like an MVP, but he won't be in the conversation. I like Derek Carr. He is a top quarterback in the NFL for me. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. They always run to the numbers, Freddie. The numbers back it up.
Yeah,
I can put his numbers with anybody's numbers, and they all look the same. For whatever reason, there's this stench on Carr. I don't know why, but people just feel a certain way about him. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, what he said, seriously, because I've been trumping Derek Carr for years, and even Raiders fans are getting on me saying, I think you're overrating this guy. This guy literally kept your organization afloat last year on and off the football field. And then he went out and delivered. And if it wasn't for a couple of referees' calls against Cincinnati, the Raiders might have gotten to the second round of playoffs because of Derek Carr. I don't know why people keep shading on him.
I have
keep
no idea.
That. Well, I mean,
I don't know why.
Well, I'm going to take that key. I think having Devontae Adams is going to be a game changer for those two. I mean, you got me on the Derek Carr train last year, Key. I think it's time. For him and Justin Herbert, let's elevate. Elevate. MVP chips, let's start going for it.
Sure. Why not?
Baker Mayfield starts the season with the Browns.
Shake it!
Shake it.
Shake it!
I'm taking
Freddie?
Shaking it.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm taking that.
He may start the season.
Well, that was the question.
With the Browns,
yeah.
But he's not going to start for the Browns.
Well, that's not what I said.
That's not the question.
No,
I
understand that.
The season with the Browns. So, would you like to take it or shake it?
Why you listen to the question before you answer the question?
Well, anytime you say. Okay, now he's mad at me because I said Kansas City had the worst.
He certainly is.
I'm mad at him, James. Everyone.
He certainly is.
Listen to the question before you yell.
Well, as soon as you said Baker Mayfield, I couldn't help but to shake it.
Good comeback.
Baker, I just shake it. What was the question? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
He'll start the season on the – I wonder if there's some sort of exempt deal, though, Evan – like, if
question.
They keep him on the roster, but they don't play him or something.
Yeah, you were on that list. Tell us about it.
When was I ever on the list?
They kept you on the roster and didn't play you. They deactivated you for every game when you were in Tampa.
Ooh.
Yeah, but that's different, smart
ass.
How
do you know Key's career better? Key was
smart ass.
How is this possible?
Key's just trying to
your
forget.
Recall of Key's career is better than Key's recall of his own career.
No, what he is doing is the typical jerk thing as a fan, trying to make it seem like that I'm a problem, that I was a problem in Tampa, so therefore they deactivated me and all that.
I just thought you would know about this list that they could put him on where they deactivate him for every game so he's not around the team, but they still pay him. Would you know anything about
this
list?
Hey, Evan, I just want to say, in your authoritative position, it makes me uncomfortable with the type of language that you continually use on a national platform about the people that work here. I just want to state that for the record. That's how I personally feel. Key, would you concur?
Well, Evan, he asked me the question, would I know anything about this list?
It's inflammatory.
And what I would say is that I do not know anything under oath about this list.
Got it.
And despicable.
All right, I'll follow
up. It sounds very narcissistic.
I'll follow up in the extra content.
Yes.
In 2 minutes. Last one, Take It or Shake It, brought to you by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Nailed that, Reed. Shop at Grainger all the time. Alabama beats Texas A&M by 30 on October 8th. Take It or Shake It.
Shake it.
Shake that.
I think it's reversed. I think A&M beats Alabama by 30.
Ooh.
On where's the game at? Is it in Tuscaloosa or is it
Tuscaloosa.
In A&M?
Oh. It's in Alabama, October 8th.
Yeah, I think Alabama beats him by 30.
See, y'all focus on the game. I'm focused on the fight on the field after the game. That's all I care about.
Those two old men.
How many punches Nick Saban getting in?
One and
two. Getting one or two over under 1.5.
Yeah, not even. I'm taking it under.
Who are you taking in that, Key? I'm taking Jimbo. He's agile.
I'm going to take Jimbo. I think I'm going to take Jimbo because I think Nick just had like either hip or knee surgery within the last year.
Yeah, you go right for the hip.
Nobody wants to see two old men fight like that, man.
I do.
No, not me.
I will pay money.
You want to see them rip off each other's shirt?
I will pay money. CK, stop.
Worst fight ever if that even possessed from that standpoint.
What is wrong with us?
Well, he was looking at me yesterday. I don't.
And it gave you those soft eyes. It caught you. You stopped.
Okay, how did we get to this avenue
right
here? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max presented by Progressive
between
Insurance.
Sarah here and this guy's voice over here in the soft eyes now.
Much more on that, not Keyshawn taking off his shirt.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so during Take It or Shake It, guys, you were talking about the Browns, and, you know, Key said Baker Mayfield might be with the Browns but not play for them. And so he asked if there was a list they could put him on, and I thought of the time that Keyshawn Johnson was put on a list by the Buccaneers. So, Key, this is from ESPN.com News Services, November 18th, 2003. Stop me when I get to something that's inaccurate. the Tampa Bay Buccaneers shelved their disgruntled star receiver, Keyshawn Johnson, for the rest of the year, Tuesday.
Wasn't disgruntled at all. Never disgruntled. I love the way they describe me, but go ahead.
The team says he had become disruptive during the team's
another damn lie.
4-6 start to the season.
First of all, that information is coming not from the team, but from John Gruden, probably. But go ahead.
The Bucs said they would deactivate Johnson for the remaining six games.
Damn. That is true.
Okay. All right.
3-1.
So there is a list that they could put Baker on, is what you're saying, and Key knew all about it. He will be paid his full salary and was not fined, Rich McKay said.
I didn't do anything.
Okay. 3-2.
Quote from John Gruden, for whatever reason, he didn't want to be here. He let me know that sometime after one of our early games.
Yes, I did, 100%. I don't want to be here. My house is going on the market right now in September, and at the end of the season, I want to be out of here. I will give you everything, any and everything. I'll give you back my salary. I want to get as far the hell away from you as possible. Go ahead.
The move stunned Johnson. Were you stunned by the move?
No, I was not stunned by the move. I asked for the move.
4-3.
This is my favorite quote. Honestly, I'm very disappointed because I really wanted to win another championship with this team. I was never Gruden's guy. He never liked me. I told him I'd rather retire than play for him.
That is correct.
But I also told him I wouldn't be a distraction.
Correct. But they called me a distraction. You see how that goes.
Told him you wouldn't be a distraction. You went back on your word. You were a
distraction. Oh, shut up. Lies.
I was playing hard. I wasn't dogging it.
I'm thoroughly enjoying this.
Tell everyone I'm in New York looking for apartments. Key basically removed the Buccaneers from his Instagram page in 2003.
You removed them from your social media.
Cuz? Really? Yeah, back in 2003. I was chilling in New York looking for an apartment.
Key took the Bucks off his MySpace page.
Yeah, were they in his top eight? Did he extend the top eight to top 16?
Top 16.
No. Man, I was thinking about going back to New York. I love when you can bring up just lying ass articles from the past.
Nope, they're facts.
Just lies.
They're facts.
This is brought by ESPN AOL.
I don't give a damn what ESPN. They lied.
I believe all of what Evan just read.
Let's read what the Baltimore Sun had to say. The Tampa Bay Bucks said that Keyshawn Johnson's on-field performance wasn't worth his off-field posturing.
Oh no!
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Talk to me. See? Now y'all ain't worried about my soft eyes. Yeah.
I'm trying to breathe here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Well, about Progressive Insurance. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman, and Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Get it, boy. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Hold on.
There we go.
Look
at you guys.
Hey, Key, why when you start dancing, you start touching yourself? For no reason. You're touching your chest.
Well, that's KC and Jody did that all the time for Jodeci. Mm-hmm. They did that whole thing. Had the sunglasses.
It's getting hot up in here.
Say, man, Freddie.
Yeah.
I'm back onto this extra content, though.
No. That's why I can't breathe.
Because they surely will make you.
They did.
Oh, man, they going to describe you as the worst human being ever if they get a chance.
Hey, now, the media will paint you to be something you are not now.
You know,
they do such a flurry that by the time you get up your own response, like, see, back in the day, you couldn't even make a response.
Right.
And by the way, I let them know.
But even if you said something, though, the amount of people that read the articles, like, they don't do the extra digging. What did Keyshawn actually have to say about it?
Because if it bleeds, it leads.
It's over already. Like, they came to their opinion.
No, that it would be true. It was probably a little bit, like for me, what I always tried to do was keep it nice, small, short, and sweet. I don't need to continue to elaborate on stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll let you believe what you want to believe. At the end of the day, in my career, all my actions and who I was spoke for itself. Right. So when one would say something negative about me, I don't need to have a rebuttal on a constant basis with you. I say one thing, I'm done. I let everybody else fight my battles for me at the end of the day. And I loved it. Evan pulled that up and was reading it because some of the it was funny as hell just listening to it.
Hold on.
What is that, like 20-something years later, you're exactly listening to all those lies? Yeah.
Let's listen to what Key's hometown paper, the Los Angeles Times, had to say.
This ought to be good.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers essentially cut ties with disgruntled receiver Keyshawn Johnson, keeping him on the roster for now, but announcing they plan to deactivate him for the rest of the season.
Cut again, pace.
Again, Browns, this is an option if you want to do this with Baker Mayfield. Key has set the precedent that this is an option. Here's the
That's so messed up, yo.
It really is.
So messed
Times,
up, Evan.
The Los Angeles Times, right? Johnson, the former USC standout number one overall pick, whose 1997 book, Just Give Me the Damn Ball, only reinforced his reputation for being selfish,
wow,
frequently clashed with John Gruden over his role in the offense. My God, Key, your hometown paper.
No, well, no. Listen to this.
Reputation for being selfish, reinforced.
Selfish? You see how you couldn't get one individual on any team I ever played on, coach or teammate, to call me selfish,
but
ever.
But, Key, you don't even need to defend yourself because
selfish.
Right now, as soon as I hear,
Saban,
hold on, Evan, hold on,
you.
Evan, you always tell us in the post-show meeting not to talk over each other. We'll talk about that in our second post-show meeting today, the one at 11 o'clock after the 10 o'clock. Key,
so
all
stupid.
I'm saying.
We don't have one today. It's Friday,
oh,
you knucklehead.
Right. Thanks, Captain Obvious. All I'm saying. Are you sure we don't have one today? We might have one.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah. Key, every time I hear John Gruden's name, mm-hmm, in the conversation with you,
all credibility goes
gone,
out the window.
It's gone. Hey, you don't got to worry about nothing ever again.
True.
It's done. Time has revealed itself. It speaks for itself.
Is it? It's so funny though, Freddie.
Yeah.
No, Freddie, because Freddie's never on with us. So the our general manager at the time was Rich McKay in Tampa Bay. He is now the president of football, president of the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
And in many of those articles, Rich never defamed me or anything
right,
like that. And him and I got one of the closest relationships ever. And he was the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the time. He left. When I left Tampa, he left like 2 weeks later to go take the job with the Atlanta Falcons in the middle of the damn season.
Really?
So
that's right.
Yeah. But I love – Evan gets a kick out of this stuff, and I do too, when we go back and we listen to it. And guys like Evan, who's been around the media since he was born, understands how this stuff works.
Sure.
So what were you saying, Evan? I'm sorry for cutting you off. I publicly apologize to
well,
you.
Well, I only like reading these because my dad
wrote half
the
article. You yelled at me in
the
talkback, which nobody else heard, but I heard, and now I feel bad. So I'm sorry.
All right, easy there, Jimbo Fisher.
Yep. Well, if I were Jimbo, I would have said
love,
a lot more aggressive.
I just love some of this stuff, though, Evan. It's hilarious.
Speaking of that here, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Keyshawn Johnson, J. Will, Freddie Coleman, and for Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio. A whole kerfuffle involving Jimbo Fisher responding to Nick Saban. Nick Saban at an event with boosters. Nate Oates, the basketball coach, sitting right next to him. And they talked about that, hey, Texas A&M, they bought every player that they recruited, being having the number one recruiting class in the country. That led Jimbo Fisher to say this.
Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well.
Wow. Well, that escalated quickly.
Very fast.
That really got out of hand fast.
Yeah.
If you know, he knows everything that went on because he was there wherever it was at. Mm-hmm. Right? LSU, wherever. He knows the deal. And I think when you get into these situations, Jimbo Fisher's tired of every college coach that at a Power 5 school that they got to compete against with recruits complaining that they have more money than them. So that's how you're able to do it, when part of it is probably true, but you also got to be able to sell a kid on your university. Mm-hmm. You can't just walk up with the money, because everybody got money now. You also got to now sell them on the idea of, we're going to be good, you're going to get drafted, all of those sort of things. And I think he's tired of hearing where Lane, you know, when recruitment was over, Lane Kiffin, coach at Ole Miss, said that they were going to have a luxury tax like the NBA,
yeah,
because they spent so much money. Now you got Nick Saban complaining about the same sort of thing being beat by these schools on recruits. My advice to Nick Saban and any other college coach out there that's losing recruits to NIL deals by universities, get your money game up, son.
Yeah. Look, I think Nick Saban was wrong with the way he went about it. He seemed a little bit too loose for me, frankly, in an environment which he's speaking in public. He was wrong with that. Was Jimbo Fisher wrong? Yeah, I think Jimbo Fisher took it to a completely different level.
Personal.
And I think that this is a bad look overall for football and the SEC, as there is so much money. And my only thing about Nick Saban is you can talk down about your competitors without saying their name.
Right.
Right? When you say their name, you're invoking something different.
Yeah. If you're Jimbo Fisher, you better win. They're not paying you all that money to go 8-4. Or 9-3. You can fat mouth at Nick Saban all you want. Texas A&M football has not mattered championship wise since the 80s, when Kyler Murray's dad was the quarterback. So if you're going to clap back at Nick Saban, all right.
Jackie Sherrill was paying people back then.
Yeah, and they weren't winning championships then either.
That's right.
Win or get lost. Those are the options. Much more on this beef. And someone has a beef with Jay that needs to be settled. Next on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.